From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
I have heard a lot of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people, say something when they introduce themselves that's kind of like this.
Hi, my name is Josh Arie. I'm 34 years old. I live in New York. And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm involved with different businesses. But my heart and goal in life is actually to make a positive impact in this world.
My goal is to make a positive impact in this world. I mean, doesn't everyone say that? Haven't you heard that in a million interviews? And I am not taking that away from other people who say it, because there are so many ways to do that. But, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes when a company is making something and it's just a kind of silly, frivolous thing, and they frame it as if they're making the world better, it's hard not to roll your eyes. And then I talk to Josh. And when Josh says that he is trying to make an impact in this world, I mean, he really means it. This is what he says. This is what he means.
About 14 years ago, I made a decision to mostly shift my focus from literally working probably 80 to 100 hours a week to shifting that time to almost volunteering that same equivalent amount of time every week.
And what does that mean? Well, Josh has this organization. It's called Smiles Through Cars. Josh himself will dress up like Batman, for example, and hop in the coolest sports car and then drive to meet some sick child and bring joy to their day, to their lives. And he does this for no money. He's been doing this for a very long time. He kind of got into it really randomly, and it started to take over his life. And he is now, just now, I mean, he's been doing this for 14 years, just now trying to figure out how to actually make it sustainable. Because Josh wants to do all this good for kids, and he doesn't want to take a dime for it. But of course, he has to make a living. He has to earn money so that he can feed himself and keep doing good. And it's a struggle.
We're kind of changing that as we go along, because it's really not sustainable and it's not the smartest thing in the world. And I'm coming to realize that I have to run this like a business, even if I don't want to profit from it as a business, but I have to have that same approach.
Josh and I originally connected on Instagram. He just started DMing me. I'm at Hey Pfeiffer, by the way, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. I respond to all DMs, and I responded to his. And then we just got chatting, and he started to tell me about what he does and about how he had made this massive pivot in his life where he was working constantly for things that were making him quite a lot of money, but weren't actually satisfying. And then he found something that was totally satisfying, like 100% fulfilling, but of course makes no money. And he's trying to figure out the balance. Like right now, he's trying to figure out the balance. He's doing so much good in this world, and he has established this brand of smiles through cars. But how does he keep it going? And I thought it would be interesting to just hop on the phone with Josh and hear what's happening. Like, how did he get into this? How did he identify this passion? And how did he find the courage to leave behind all the things that he was working for that were making him a lot of money and pivot into this thing that he just felt so good about? I think that we all, as entrepreneurs, struggle with this. We all have the thing that is making us money and the thing that we're passionate about. And sometimes the thing we're passionate about is also a moneymaker or a potential moneymaker. But how do we make that decision? How do we evolve ourselves? And how do we do good in the world? And I thought, if Josh was open to it, I just wanted to capture this moment of his as he is walking through the thing that he is struggling with right now. So that's what we did. That is what you're going to hear on this episode. I talked to Josh. He's so interesting and open. And the way that he found this whole thing is just so crazy. And I think that you're just going to learn a lot from his journey about how to pivot into passion and how to figure it out along the way and how to make it work and how to make it sustainable so that you can ultimately continue to do more good. So it is Josh and Smiling Through Cars on this episode of Problem Solvers right after the break. My time is stretched really thin, as I'm sure is yours, and that means it is frustratingly hard to read books and benefit from their wisdom. But there is an incredible app that solves this problem. It is called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. It has a massive and growing library: self-help, business, health, history, latest bestsellers. I find Blinkist is best when I'm driving in the car because 15 minutes is really the perfect amount of time between home and wherever I'm going. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for you. Go to Blinkist.com/problem solvers to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/problem solvers to start your 7-day free trial. And you'll also receive 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. So on this episode, I am talking to Josh R.A. of Smiles Through Cars about how he transformed his life and is now trying to figure out how to transform the organization that is contributing to so many other people's lives. And like I said a minute ago, Josh started out as a guy who worked a ton and made a bunch of money. Josh, he grew up in Long Island and he had an eye for sports cars. Fancy sports cars. He loved sports cars. His family couldn't afford these things, mind you. He wasn't driving around them and owning them or anything, but he just loved seeing them and dreaming about them. And then he grew up and he entered the working world and he thought, you know, I'm going to go out, I'm going to make a lot of money. Like, make a lot of money and be able to afford the kinds of things that I think were so cool. And he figured out a way to do it.
At that time, majority of my money was coming from real estate because I found there what for me I thought was a niche was really just finding wealthier people that wanted to get into real estate, but either didn't have the knowledge or the time. So I would kind of either syndicate a deal or I would just get them in to invest with someone else in something of that sort. And they say they would either be in the LP or the GP position within the deal. And I would just take a fee or equity within the property.
Which was smart, right? I mean, if you want to make some money, go find some wealthy people and then be the middleman between the wealthy people and some wealthy people things that they want. You'll get yourself some money. So Josh is doing this. And while he's doing this, by the way, he's also starting to, he has friends now who have really fancy cars that he had remained obsessed with. And he's borrowing these cars. I mean, sometimes they're impressing clients, these cars. And other times he's just driving them around because he really enjoys them. And one day, this thought occurs to him.
I just had this idea. I said, the same way that I grew up loving these exotic cars, there had to be sick and underprivileged children that had that same want and wish. You know, majority of the people don't get to sit in a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or any of that.
But that's such a random idea if you are not already working with children. Where did that come from?
Ever since I've been a child, I've always been the type of person that would give back. Even if I didn't have the money, it could be as simple as holding the door open for someone, paying for the coffee online for the guy behind me, saying good morning to them, helping an elder person with their packages, like just little things. You know, I was always that guy, just like giving back in whatever way I could. So it's always just instilled in my heart and mind. So even though my motivation was to make a lot of money, along the way, I wanted to help you. It wasn't just about the car collection. It was my goal every year, my New Year's resolution is to either do more kindness in the year before or donate more money or both. Like that was it. Whether my donation was $10, $100, $1,000, whatever it was that I was able to afford at the time, my goal was to be a better person than the year before. Because it's not like a New Year's resolution of I'm going to go to the gym every day and I'm going to work out for 3 hours and a weekend, everyone's like, all right, I'm out. This is like a year long resolution where every single day, even if you have a quote unquote bad day and I'm not as successful at what I wanted to achieve, I'll work twice as hard the next day to do that. And that was always in my mind, even before, like, look, I'm not a billionaire. I always tell people I'm Batman. I'm not Bruce Wayne. And that's kind of how it evolved with the car collection of other people.
Got it. So you're driving around in some fancy car at some point. You have this thought, which is if you were a child who loved these cars, there's probably other children who really could use a boost because of their life circumstances. And you could probably make their day with a car. So what do you do?
I started calling up different charities, different people that I knew of that might have been involved with these types of children, and saying, look, I don't own these cars, but I have access to almost any exotic car that they would want to go in. If you know of a child that needs that, let me know. And this went on day after day, week after week, month after month. I didn't even get one phone call back at all. Until one day, one of my friends called me back and he said, look, I know you made this offer to me. I know of an 8-year-old girl in Queens who's unfortunate at the time she was battling cancer, and her dream was to go on a Lamborghini. I was like, perfect. Like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I wanted. And I've always been involved in giving back, but I've never truly had that one-on-one interaction with the child. You know, it's always had a group setting. So I've done a lot throughout the years with special needs and stuff like that, but it was always like a program. But this was really, it's a 2-seater car, so it's really a one-on-one. And I'll never forget. I mean, this is literally the moment that changed my life. Like, this was that defining moment. And I remember, you know, I called up my friend that had the Lamborghini Great Neck, and my cousin let me borrow the car. He knew what I was doing it for. He let me borrow it. I said, look, I need to do it. And the family knew I was coming. The girl had no clue. And she's home in between her chemo treatments. And I'm in front of her house. And they bring out this little girl looking down at the ground. She's all sad. And all of a sudden, she looks up and sees this bright yellow Lamborghini convertible in front of her house. And you see this entire kid's face like lights up, the biggest smile I've ever seen. And we get her into the car, put the top down, drove around for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever amount of time it was, get her back in the wheelchair, they wheel her in the house. And as soon as that door shuts, the mother was there, and the mother starts hysterically crying, like nonstop bawling tears just coming down her face. And like I said, it was like the first time I truly had that one-on-one interaction. So I thought perhaps maybe I said something that was insensitive. You know, you said something that you don't even realize that could trigger that kind of emotion. And I said, look, I'm sorry if I did something or said something offensive. And she said, no, she goes, you don't get it. She goes, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 4. She's had over 20 surgeries. She got an infection, which caused her to become paralyzed, which is why she was in the wheelchair. She said, this is the first time I've seen my daughter smile in 4 years since she was diagnosed with cancer. For me at that moment, like my whole body, like I would have went numb, like my hands were cold. I was like, it was just like to hear that from a parent. It's just such a chilling moment to have that. And to say, like, as much as I love cars, like they're just, it's a stupid car, right? I mean, I'm a big car fanatic, but at the end of the day, it's just the car. And I said, if I could have such an impact in someone's life, for a parent to have that, to see that, there's no amount of money that a parent wouldn't pay to have that, to know that for X amount of time, their child is going to feel like an actual child. They're going to see their kid happy. It's priceless. So I realized, like, if I could have that impact and do it for free, I'm not charging them anything. We don't solicit for donations. We don't anything. And we'll get to that in the future. But whatever comes into the charity goes to the children. There's no salaries on that. We wanted this to be pure, and it's all about the kids. So that moment when I saw their reaction, I said, I don't know how, but I want to dedicate my life to volunteering, to visiting these children, to helping them find that light during times of despair.
Which is an amazing story, right? Just an unbelievably amazing story. There's nothing else to say about it. And so Josh leaves this experience and he has changed. But now he has to figure out what to do about it, because Josh is making good money, but he's working extremely long hours. And it's not the kind of money where he can like stop working. He can't retire and then just be a good person for free forever. What is he supposed to do? Look, there's another way that you could do this, and which is you could try to make this your job. And that would mean that you would have to take some money for yourself so that you weren't having to earn it from other places, but then you could spend more time on this. Have you ever been tempted to do that? Or are you just, you prefer to just run yourself basically into the ground so that you can keep this thing as pure as possible while still not sacrificing the money that you need to make to earn a living?
So that has been a recent thought. There's been a lot of changes in the last year.
And by the way, just he's skipping a little bit of the chronology here, but he started just with the cars, just borrowing these fancy cars and then giving sick children a ride in the car. And then he discovered that the kids also would really love it if Batman or a superhero would show up. And so then he started doing that too.
I mean, there were days I didn't go to sleep at all. There were days I would just crash during. I would sleep from 1 to 4 in the afternoon, take a power nap, and then I would kind of just wing it. Like, it really was just, my goal was to be able to find the synergy between the two and make it work.
Right. But this is a lot of dedication, but it also doesn't sound sustainable.
It's been tough. It really
is. This is what you're still doing? This is how you're doing it?
So in the beginning,
Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, I thought that was what you did first until you figured something out. This is what you're doing. You're just working an insane amount of time so that you can fit this in.
Yes, but I can't take all the credit because along the way, I've built up some of the, I think what's really unique about the organization, because eventually I founded an organization, a 501c3 non-for-profit. And I think what's truly unique about what we're doing is 90% or maybe even 95% of the volunteers either were sick, are sick, or have a family member that was sick.
Okay, that had taken me totally by surprise because I really thought that Josh had figured out like the whole organization when we first got on the phone. I mean, I'm seeing the work that he's doing and it's amazing. And he has events everywhere, all over the country. And it's he's still like pulling insane hours. I quit, my mind was blown. Anyway, we're going to take a short break. But afterwards, we're going to talk about the organization that Josh is now building because he is bringing sanity to this. We need Josh to succeed here. We need him to figure out the balance so that he can continue to do the great work that he does. And like I teased in the beginning of this episode, and as you'll hear more later, this means not just thinking about good deeds that you don't earn any money from, but it means thinking about this like a business, not a business designed to make money, but a business that is at least designed to be sustainable. Because to do good, you have to sustain it. All right, more after the break. Just the other day, I opened this app that I use all the time, and it had no idea who I was. It wanted me to enter my username and password. Come on, I don't remember my username and password. Just let me in. Why don't you remember me? You know what this is? It is an identity problem. And this is the type of experience that Ping Identity makes awesome. So what is Ping Identity? It is the leader in global enterprise identity security, and it helps the world's largest organizations deliver secure, extraordinary digital experiences to their employees and customers. Because look, security is very important, but it shouldn't also have to be bothersome. If your app forgets your most loyal customers, you've got a problem. If your internal systems can't enable your employees to securely access anything they need without constantly entering and changing passwords, you've got a problem. And so Ping Identity solves those problems. It makes your business secure and agile, so customers can access what they want when they want it, and your employees can be productivity rock stars no matter where they are. Ping Identity is the champion of enterprise identity security. You want to learn more? Just go to pingidentity.com. Again, that is ping, P-I-N-G, pingidentity.com. All right, we're back. So we're talking to Josh of Smiling Through Cars, this wonderful organization that brings joy to children. And Josh is trying to juggle making a living and then doing this great work that he's so passionate about and doesn't want to take a dime for. And how do you do that? Well, at the end of the last segment before the break, we learned that Josh is still kind of stretching himself extremely thin. But he has started to build an organization of volunteers who are happy to do this. And they're also taking donations that are really valuable for this kind of work. For example, a friend of Josh's donated a Lamborghini and a Rolls Royce to the organization so that they could use it for children. And also, there are now people involved who are doing these kinds of events all over the place. He said they've got people in Vegas, LA, Florida, Vermont, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. And so obviously, it's not always Josh dressing up as a superhero and showing up in a fancy car to delight those kids everywhere. He's got other people, but he's still stretching himself super, super thin. And so in our conversation, at some point, I was hearing all this and I just said to Josh, look, there's another way that you could do this, and which is you could try to make this your job. And that would mean that you would have to take some money for yourself so that you weren't having to earn it from other places, but then you could spend more time on this. Have you ever been tempted to do that, or are you just, you prefer to just run yourself basically into the ground so that you can keep this thing as pure as possible while still not sacrificing the money that you need to make to earn a living?
So that has been a recent thought. There's been a lot of changes in the last year.
So the next year for Josh is going to be one of really learning and growing. He told me that his goal is by 2022 that Smiles Through Cars is a totally different organization for the better. In other words, it's just a more functional, a more systematic organization. And hey, maybe even an organization that he draws a modest salary from so that he can devote even more of his time to it without crashing in the middle of the day. So I want to thank Josh for sharing his story, and especially in such a vulnerable transitionary moment for him. I think it's really valuable that people like Josh share these kinds of things, because they're obviously not the only ones going through it. And also, I should tell you, I feel compelled to tell you, that if you want to help out, it is smilesthroughcars.com. That is the website where you can get in touch with Josh, donate, and do anything else. Anyway, smilesthroughcars.com. Thanks again to Josh for doing such great work to help kids who really, really need it. And now I'm rooting for him to build the kind of organization that will help him do it even more.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.